sun out this morning. It's completely dark everywhere. Dark outside, dark in front of me. There's only little spots of light in front of my face. Oh, God. Oh, this is horrible. I can feel all of the hope draining out of me. Hey, everybody. This is Cloak and Jabber, a Cloak and Dagger podcast. I'm Alex.
We accidentally are broadcasting our show from inside the cloak universe. What are we doing? It's difficult. We're facing our fears and learning a hell of a lot about ourselves. I'm an empty void of a human. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And as mentioned, you're listening to Cloak and Jabber, a Cloak and Dagger podcast. We're going to be talking about Rabbit Hold, the latest episode of the show. This is fun.
Well,
very fun.
It's not Rabbit Hole. It's Rabbit Hold.
Rabbit Hold. So yes. You are holding rabbits.
Did I not pronounce the...
No, you pronounced it correctly. It's weird to me because it kind of feels like we go down a rabbit hole in this episode, and I'm wondering if there was some weird licensing thing, why would they wouldn't just call it Rabbit Hole?
Yeah.
They could instead of Rabbit license. Hold, like, I'm going to hold on to this rabbit, which is an expression that nobody uses.
No, the rabbit hole has been licensed by
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, oh, it's
oh.
Nice.
Get it?
Yeah.
Because they're called a Warren. All right, let's move to my favorite section of the show. This is where our New Orleans correspondent, Brett Macris,
yes.
weighs in with a bunch of notes about the previous episode. These are notes not for this episode that you guys are we're going to be talking
not
about
the
a little
hold
bit.
Of the rabbit?
No, this is for episode three.
He'll come back with a lot of real rabbit hold deep dive next.
This is great. Yeah, definitely, Brett, let us know what's going on with the rabbits down in New Orleans.
Yep.
Tell us about the rabbits, Brett. Tell us about the rabbits. This is for episode three. The Doc's mention of the North Shore in the beginning when studying the twin mice is interesting. The North Shore is something only locals would understand. It's the North Shore of Lake Pontchartrain, which, to be honest, is very rednecky, and if you said you were from the North Shore, you'd immediately be identifiable. Like if someone told you were from Jersey City, Staten Island, or Rochester, you kind of knew...
What?
What?
Brett Macris taking a shot at me right now?
I think he is. Wow, shots fired.
Roxy.
Wow, dude. Don't come at The Rock, Brett Macris.
Wow, I don't know. Yeah, I know. Otherwise, The Rock's going to, what?
Roll all over you.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay. You kind of knew they were from there before they even told you. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we already knew you were from the fucking North Shore. Maybe not always applicable for mice, but if I spent more time with mice, I could probably tell which mouse was from the North Shore and which one wasn't. I'd love to know where the SRO hotel is where Mayhem lives, asking for a friend. The hotel may exist, but that's not common. Nola isn't Vegas with rooms for rent hourly. Maybe because I'm old and out of touch, but I doubt it. So the former priest, wow. This is Father Delgado, drunk on the soapbox, is not on Bourbon Street, but on Royal Street, right in front of Pirate's Alley, next to Touchdown Jesus. It's right next... I want to know more about that.
Yeah, Touchdown Jesus?
Touchdown yeah. Jesus!
Yeah, is that a Jesus who plays football, or what's going on there? Let us know.
Jesus scores again.
Oh.
He keeps scoring. He just scored the once, right? And that's...
Oh, man.
What?
I don't know. Oh, technically, man. That's...
Okay. No. It's right next to the St. Louis the Cathedral. There's a statue of Jesus. Oh, here we go. In the middle, I should just have read
you
it.
You should have just kept reading. Yeah.
There's a statue of Jesus in the middle of the courtyard, and at night they put a spotlight on the statue, and the silhouette against the cathedral looks like Jesus announcing a touchdown. The Glitter Gutter Strip Club is made up. There are no strip clubs on Royal at all.
Wow.
There is a lingerie shop called Trashy Diva in front of where drunk soap priest drops to the ground, but no strip clubs. The tattoo artist who did my Batman tattoo sets up her art displays on the weekends, but no stripping. Royal Street is mostly known for its boutique stores and local art galleries. There's plenty of awesome street performers as well. Under the fake strip club sign, you can see an iron fence. They move those fences into the street to block traffic during the day so the bands can play. You can buy a permit for specific hours of the day, and your band can perform on the street in an area set aside for those specific hours. Everyone knows Rouse's Market gets the best bands during the week. Now, Bourbon Street, the actual street, doesn't shut down to traffic until the evening. Bourbon is kind of annoying all the time, but during the day, it's just delivery trucks, and no one knows that better roaming the streets. Royal Street shuts down during the day, and Bourbon doesn't start until the sun goes down, but it's mostly tourists. That's not to say everyone shouldn't have a Bourbon Street night at least once in their life, but once you do it, there's so much more to the city to wrap yourself
yes.
around. This is starting to sound a little like a travel brochure.
Yep.
Guys, get yourself out of the regular. Stay away from Bourbon Street.
I mean, that's 100% good advice, though.
Yeah. All right. All right. Where Mayhem confronts the fallen priest is right in front of Pat O'Brien's, a very long-standing Irish bar. But most importantly, it's right next to Preservation Hall, a historic jazz hall. No drinking, no booze, just music. There's also no AC, and during the summer, the hall is sweltering. Ooh. But people still pack the seats every night. There's large fans, but they supply little relief and plenty of cats that just hang out in the hall waiting for stray rats and mice. It's where Louis Armstrong got famous, and without being able to fully articulate how amazing this place is, it's amazing. And last little bit, Tandy and Ty are led to a rundown building surrounded by dumpster fires, which seems to be a human trafficking ring. That building is on Decatur Street, right in the middle of the French Quarter. They did a great job of making it look secluded and abandoned, but I recognize that building anywhere. It's the middle of a parking lot where I parked to go see my MCU movies in the mall. I bought my Avengers tickets there.
Wow.
So there you go. If you want to find a human trafficking ring, go see Avengers Endgame in theaters soon. All right, let's get into the recap for this episode. Now, the stuff that you need to know, there's Tandy, there's Ty, they have powers. Tandy has light powers. She can create daggers and also tap into people's hopes. Ty has dark powers. She can also create a Dragon Ball Z thing.
Thank you. Okay. Jesus Christ. Don't take that away from her.
Okay. That's ballsy.
Ty has a couple of powers. He can teleport. He can also hook into people's fears. And as we found out recently, at the end of the last season, he can also suck people inside of him. We found out a little bit more about that last episode when he sucked in Mayhem, an out-of-control vigilante. We'll get to more about her in a second.
Yes.
Got sucked into the cloak. She wandered through his cloak, found an abandoned gas station, and in it was her dead boyfriend inside of a fridge. Now, Mayhem is actually half of Bridget O'Reilly, a detective with the New Orleans Police Department, who's friends with Tandy and Ty. She technically died last season, and due to some weird energy from the Roxxon Oil Corporation, same energy that gave Tandy and Ty their powers, she ended up splitting in two. One of them is unable to shoot straight, is very meek, very scared. The other one is Mayhem, this vigilante with super strength and super sharp nails. Mayhem has been playing on Tandy a little bit and trying to turn her to her side.
Yep.
Ty, not for that, hence cloaking her.
And Tandy has been sort of into it a little
bit.
Yes. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, they've gotten a little bit back and forth. One of the big things that Ty has been dealing with is he was framed for the murder of Detective Connor, Bridget's boyfriend, by Detective Connor last season. Detective Connor is a corrupt cop. He is the first person that Ty cloaked, took inside of him. He wasn't able to clear his name because Detective Connor was inside of his body or wherever he went.
His cloak. He's inside his cloak.
Inside his cloak. Inside his tummy. Nope. Is that fair?
No, and it's cloak.
Yeah, he's just hiding in a pocket.
Yeah.
A little mouse. Yeah.
And the other thing that you should probably know about Tandy is that Tandy's father was abusive. She had held him up to a very high standard her entire life because he died when she was very young. But it turned out she actually hit her mom a bunch. It was not such a great guy.
Yes.
So,
she had a very difficult time facing that.
Exactly. And also, Ty has not seen his parents in a very long time, and his parents split up because he was on the run and hiding out. That seems to have broken up their relationship.
Oh, yes. Man.
So that said, let's jump into the episode.
Yeah. We got into dealing with the aftermath of absorbing Mayhem right out of the gate.
Yes.
And Tandy and Ty are talking about it. And, you know, they're not talking nicely.
Yeah, Tandy and Ty are talking. It's
they're
it's
fighting.
Yeah.
They're fighting about it.
Yeah, Tandy and Ty talking? Tense.
And Tandy, all about trying to get Mayhem back for her own personal agenda.
Well, hold on a second. Tandy's like, hey, dude, I thought we told each other things. And I think I understand why she said that, but their whole thing is not telling each other things.
Yeah. Right. But they reached a new understanding. I mean, there's been a couple of months there where they have been friends. They've had movie nights. They've been hanging out.
Yes.
So as viewers, we didn't get to see a lot of that. But I do think that has happened where they had a new understanding. And even last episode, Tandy was like, hey, there's something I got to show you. I can Hadouken check this out. I figured this out. And then she finds out that Ty has this cloaking thing that he hasn't just mentioned. It also was in the middle of a confrontation between the two of them where they weren't really agreeing on things towards the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So I think Tandy is very thrown by that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what they quickly realize is they need to get Mayhem back. They need to get Mayhem out of there to figure out what's going
on.
To
rescue these girls that were kidnapped.
Yes, exactly.
Which I don't really believe. They can
really?
They can move on without Mayhem.
But they don't. Bam knows where they are. She's the one who has the information they need. And Tandy's like,
yo, but they have the detective. They can bring her into the room and be like, hey, figure this shit out.
The problem, though, is that Bridget doesn't know what's going on at this point. Yeah. She is the weaker part between her and Mayhem. So she's
still
not
the same person.
But
they don't share information between their brains.
Right. Like, but we're sort of the same. They used to be the same person. Yeah, so even a shell of yourself should be able to look at the moves that she made.
We're the same person, and I don't understand you at all.
We are not the same
person.
Yeah,
by the way, that was pretty gross when you guys died and fell in that toxic
waste.
Oh,
Pete, we should say Pete and I are sort of, one of us is Mayhem and one of us isn't. Guess which. And we split, I don't know what, 7-8 years ago. We both lived separate lives.
I would say 13 years ago.
We come together and do this podcast. Yeah.
So the thing that they decide to do is Tandy is going to figure out how to get Mayhem back. She wants to get inside of Ty, inside of his, again, they still don't use the word Dark Force, but I think it's easiest to call it that. That's from the comics. And they realize they could do that by making Ty scared. So she confronts him with her light daggers. She's throwing light daggers at him. She's basically throwing truth bomb after truth bomb at him.
It was painful to watch, man. It was so hurtful and mean. I know she was doing it to scare Ty, but that was rough. Also, she is upset about the whole Connors thing, being inside of his
cloak.
Well,
because he kept that secret as well. Yeah. That's another huge secret. Yeah. He's known this entire time where Connors is. Yeah. She's trying to help him. She's been trying to help him figure out what's been going on with Connors so she can clear his name, but he's been inside of his tummy the entire time.
Not his tummy, his cloak, you asshole.
That same difference.
No. It's a fucked up tummy.
Yeah.
Guys, there's a difference between a cloak and a tummy.
I don't think so.
Nope.
Yeah.
So Tandy finally does open him up. the smoke comes out, and she walks inside of a tie and finds herself in the Dark Force.
I mean, they're pretty quick. This is a pretty big choice for them to make. Like, they could easily die. Like, there's no way.
I was really surprised that they went with this decision.
They have no idea if anyone can come back out of tie, and yet they're just like,
I'll walk in there. I have light, so I'll be able to see in complete darkness.
Well, the good news is that when she gets inside, she finds a pile of pennies, which is great.
Yes. Oh, man.
Because I will say, find a penny, pick it up. All day, you'll have good luck. Leave a penny, find a penny, let it lay. Bad luck, you'll have all day.
Nice.
Yeah, she leaves a lot of pennies there.
Yeah, she left a lot of pennies behind. I was going to say, cloak is the ultimate. Give a penny, take a penny. You leave a penny in cloak. And so eventually it'll come back to you.
Not necessarily. But
like
she goes inside.
It's like making a wish.
And there is a huge revelation that happens almost immediately when she gets there. She finds the gas station, gets over to the gas station, and there's a little boy there. And the little boy turns out to be St. Peter, I think.
And this was,
which is crazy. Like, listen.
But also it was like Papa something, which has also been in the comics before.
Papa Poutine?
Not Papa Poutine.
Oh, okay. Papa That's River.
No. It was
Papa
like
Papadopoulos from Webster.
Wow. The fact that you have that in your lexicon kind of really blows my mind.
Pete, I'm the part of
it. It was like a when Papa Midnight or something that's like famous with kind of like.
Yeah, I think it was
like,
Papa Midnight. Yeah, I think when we split, I took a lot of the pop culture information.
Well, whatever it is, he's saying he's a gatekeeper. All of those characters, all of those figures in culture, in religion, are gatekeepers, and that's essentially what he's saying. But
did you think it was actually St. Peter, or he was just saying that as like,
I don't know, because
he was
name
dropping a lot of people, though
they are called the Divine Pairing, right? Yeah. I don't know if they're technically the Divine Pairing anymore, but there's certainly not even religious undertones, but literal overtones there to that naming. So if they are leaning into religion more there, it might make sense to me that they did kind of introduce St. Peter in the Dark Force.
But that's a gateway to heaven. Isn't St. Peter the one at the gate?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, this is whatever this show's take on the afterlife is. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's what he is. Maybe that's what the Dark Force is here, is a purgatory, essentially.
Now, to me, it felt like it was less an actual St. Peter and more what Ty's take, sort of like the sort of big, deep philosophy take of Ty's personality.
See, I don't know. Like, so you thought, this is actually the bigger question about the episode, because most of the episode, Tandy spends wandering around and counting various things and people and whatever inside of the Dark Horse.
Collecting pennies.
Collecting pennies. But it wasn't 100% clear if this was only inside of Ty or they're tapping into something greater.
Yes.
And I tend to think it's the latter.
Well, that's, I guess, what we'll see. I was thinking it was the former. I think it's all Ty.
But then there's so, as Tandy is wandering through, she does encounter Mayhem, just to kind of speed through this a little bit.
Yeah.
She encounters Mayhem. She finds Mayhem. They clash a little bit, but eventually, not exactly team up, but wander through together, try to figure out what's going on there. They find a record store, and it's full of Tandy's memories.
Right. Yeah. Also,
which is something that I hold on one second, which I don't think Ty would have. Like, they've shared things, but Ty would not have those in the same way. So what I took away from that is, similar to last season, where they were both able to access the same memories and same places using their powers in different ways, there's almost the central, maybe nervous system that connects everybody's psyches that they're able to access. So when she's going inside of Ty, she's not actually in his tummy. She's in this area, this purgatory, this other dark force dimension.
It's upside down of some sort.
Yes, yeah. One might say.
Well, she kind of brings her deal to that. But also, I'd just like to point out real quick, the Mayhem kind of had a sweet moment where she was like, I wanted to team up with you early, and you weren't into it, which was kind of a cool, you know, referencing the comic team up, classic fun. But also was bothering me that Ty had his phone on fucking vibrate. You know, he's in this big fight. His parents' house is getting stormed. You know, the clock is ticking.
Well,
if he would have just had his phone on.
Let's talk about Ty's stuff in a second. Let's go through Tandy's stuff and kind of keep
on. But that's the most important part.
Yeah. Sure.
That his
phone skipped right over that whole part of like,
guys, don't keep
your phone on vibrate when you're a superhero. All
right? You know what? You're right. While we were talking about Tandy's plotline, we didn't skip ahead to the middle of Ty's plotline.
Well, it started to ring before she went into the cape. All right. So.
It's a cloak.
It's a tummy.
I hear your take that it's like a tapping into a larger world, but for me it feels like more her memories are there because they have a shared universe. When Tandy and Ty got
the
their powers when they were given
the
divine pairing, they became this massive. They became this power onto itself and sort of it, their own dimension in a way that they can.
I would say that we saw Connor's kind of world, and in his world, there's all these ponchos and hoods because he's scared of the cloak. So, like, if he's in there in his own kind of purgatory, I don't think that has anything to kind of do with Tandy.
I think he just got those ponchos out.
Do you think he brought a bunch of ponchos in with him?
Yeah, he's like, hey, would you mind stopping by a sporting goods store? It might be rainy inside you.
They're in a mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just Ty was walking along, and he's like, oh, I got a real hankering for ponchos. Start eating a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
satisfaction.
Yeah. So they do get to this record store. They check out the records. They're all memories that Tandy had.
This was cool. I thought this was well
done. It was great. Yeah. We also got, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was almost every episode, and definitely every episode of the season, we've had Olivia Holt the guy who plays Cloak, singing songs over themselves. I think this is Olivia Holt doing a cover of Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Great.
Oh, wow.
Which, fantastic cover, super creepy because it's
super
her.
Super slowed down.
Super slowed down. It's her as a baby. It's Tandy seeing herself as a baby, but also with her parents. And of course, her dad hit her mom. So there's a lot of stuff going on there with that cover, which isn't just like isn't this fun, a Britney Spears cover. That's what I love about the show, how layered every single choice that they make.
I did not notice that.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
They, like, go for it. They do not shy away from confronting these issues and being like, nope, this happened to these characters, so it's part of the lexicon that we're going to touch on whenever we need to.
Which I appreciate about the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's going through the memories to try to figure out what's going on and just getting angrier and angrier and breaking all the records. Eventually, they get away from that part, and Mayhem does, in fact, find Connors there. As you mentioned, inside a bunch of ponchos. They've noticed them earlier. He's there. He's got a nice beard, sweet beard.
Because he's been there for months.
You know, when you've been...
What was he eating? Was he eating pennies or what's going on?
Yeah, if you suck on pennies,
he was about to take a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
He wanted to pass it.
Yeah.
So he did suck on a penny, which does not work.
Yeah. And Mayhem immediately takes carabiner? And hangs him.
Yeah. Which... seemed aggressive.
Well, they are in a mall, so they have carabiners. So,
beaners.
And Tandy comes over, is like, "What are you doing? Get away from him! You got to stop this." And we'll get back to this moment in a second because some other stuff happens. Let's jump over to the Ty moment and eventually get to that crucial phone ringing moment
you,
that we
Jesus
touched on earlier.
Christ.
Now, Ty's plot line, while Tandy is wandering around in his tummy, he goes at what?
Cloak, you asshole, not tummy.
Do you think he's taking the stakes away from it by saying the word tummy?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
He's a grown man who says that word regularly.
Yep.
Tummy.
Word tummy.
Yeah, that's not what it is.
Stop having fun. Get to the fucking point.
I don't say the word tummy. I say a lot of words. You just said it. Only because he did. Not am I ever like, my tummy. Oh, let me put this food in my tummy. I'm gonna
what do you say instead?
Stomach.
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 Yeah. I say food box.
So Ty's plotline, he ends up tracking down his mom and revealing himself to her. She's shocked. She's scared.
Well, and he does that because his family's being threatened.
Right. Because they...
Bridget calls him and says, hey, they have your address.
Yeah,
and
they've one of the kind of kids from that sting operation on all the girls recognize your poster, and now they're coming after you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing we should say also, when Tandy first went into Ty, there was this like vending machine sort of thing.
Yeah, she gave up
and she gave up her powers, and the St. Peter, the fun-sized Ty, mm-hmm. I believe she calls him later. She gets a coin and she loses her powers while she's in there. And on the flip side is one of her light daggers, and the other side is a cloak because they are inexorably linked. So they
if
both
she doesn't have powers, he doesn't
have powers, right. Which plays into Ty's side a lot.
And we also find out the rules, which is as long as she doesn't use her powers, she can stay there. Two need to come out at the same time. So she knows she needs to grab Mayhem, get them both out, or neither of them are getting out of the cloak.
Yeah.
Ty goes to rescue his mom. She's shocked. She's upset. They have a very emotional reunion.
Yeah.
His
mom is a badass. You know, she steals a car. Is able to kind of... get them out of trouble, which was great. And then it was really upsetting is they're trying to walk away from a cop and Ty's having a temper tantrum. Don't push me around. And so the cop's like, hey, what are you doing? Because Ty was being a dick instead of being like, okay, maybe I'm upset about some things, but this isn't the time to lash out.
Have you ever been in that situation?
Yeah.
Where your friend is running around in your tummy? And it makes your tummy a little upset. He does keep grabbing his tummy. I want to mention throughout the entire episode, he's kind of like, oh, I have a little upset tummy.
No, he does not.
No, he's an adult. He doesn't have a tummy. He has a stomach.
Oh, okay. He has a little bit of a stomach ache.
Oh, my God. You are the worst person.
He's not a gummy bear. He doesn't have a tummy.
He's not bouncing around here and there and everywhere.
Good point. So they do manage to get away from the cops briefly, and then they're attacked by one of those guys from the gang. It's a young kid. He's
now
scared.
They're on a trolley thing, which I'm looking forward to Brett Macris's take on that, and hopefully he doesn't have to rip a beautiful city like Rochester to be able to tell us a story.
No, Rochester's too stupid to have trolleys. Jesus.
Fucking asshole. Punch me.
That's not
all
a
right,
real...
Next order of business for the Rochester city government, the trolley problem, by which we mean how do we trolley?
What is it? It's like a car, but you can't turn it? I don't know. Not for Rochester. Yeah. Back to our garbage plates.
They should really do a sequel to Cloak & Dagger and send it to Rochester, I think.
Yeah. That'd be great. Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, come on, man.
I have no... I mean, I'm from Syracuse.
You live right there, man.
But Syracuse...
It's the same place.
It's a rival city to Rochester. Obviously, much better. The Salt City. Big time spot. Fuck Rochester.
Yo, fuck you, man.
Syracuse is more of a metropolis.
Listen, these are all great points, but just to bring it back to the episode of TV that we're talking about.
Oh, okay, cool.
So Ty ends up confronting one of these thugs. They knock the gun out of his hand, but it's a little too late. Ty can't cloak out, ostensibly. I think the idea is because Tandy gave up her powers, he also gave up his powers.
Yeah.
Because they are, as you mentioned, flip sides of the same coin. He can't get out of there. He can't get away from the cops. Until what happens is that there is a big uproar happening in the Dark Force. They end up cloaking back into the church, and two people fall out. Tandy falls out. Ty falls out. Ty has cloaked back there, and they realize the other person they brought back is not, in fact, Mayhem. It's actually Connors. Who escapes out the window of the church.
Right
and
away.
Tandy is like, oh, my God, what did you do? What did you do? What's happened? And that's how we end the episode.
Yeah.
But Mayhem still trapped inside, Ty's stomach. Is that better, no. guys?
That makes more
cloak.
Sense.
Yes. Why won't you say cloak?
No, it's a pea coat.
Jesus Christ.
And Connor's on the loose, and Ty, having been surrounded by the SWAT team, clearly in even more trouble than he was before at this point.
But what I like about this a lot is that with Connor's out, now there's an avenue to redeem Ty. Clear him from murdering the cop.
But also, Connor's first thing he's going to do is be like, oh, finally a non-petty meal. Very excited.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's probably going to get some dimes or nickels, want to eat something.
Yeah, really treat himself. Yeah. Oh, man, a nickel? Quarter. Ooh, meaty. Ooh. I love it, especially when you've been eating pennies all week.
I mean, that's what's inside a quarter pounder.
Yeah, bunch of quarters. Yeah. We all know that.
Yeah, we all know
that. I've been trying to stay away from pennies. They're a little starchy, you know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Anything else you want to say about this episode? I know we rushed through some parts of it a little bit. Any other things that particularly jumped out at you or you liked?
What was just upsetting is, you think their relationship has gone in such great lengths. We kind of took a couple steps back with this episode, which is a little heartbreaking that they're still kind of not trusting each other.
I just love this show from top to bottom every week. Like, they do such a good job of having a superhero story unfold in front of us, but also just touching on so many interesting moments. It's made in an interesting way, and they don't spell everything out for you. They treat you like you're a very smart viewer, and I love that about this show.
I agree, too. And visually, also, I just wanted to call out the way that they set up the Dark Force. It looks like a set, but I love that. Like, I love how it does feel so sparse. It's lit so well throughout.
It's lit.
Yeah. It's really good. This episode only, Cloak or Dagger, who won the episode? Justin, going to you first.
Ooh, tough call. Gonna have to give it to Dagger. I thought her exploration of both herself and Ty inside the amazing trench coat was cool.
Yeah. What about you, Pete?
I'm going to have to give it to Ty's mom. I thought she did an amazing job of like holding things down while Ty was kind of being a little bitch.
Jesus.
That's right.
I'm also going to go with Dagger. She did a great job running around in Ty's tummy, giving him a little bit of a tummy ache.
Rumble in the tummy.
No, she was really good at this episode. Her reaction to everything that was going on with her memories and everything that she's going through. We didn't even touch on the moment where she looks in the mirror and sees all the different versions of herself.
So cool.
Very cool visually. Very interesting that Mayhem does not see anything in the mirror. Yeah. She doesn't really exist.
She is one of the mirror images. And that's it.
Yeah. But I like that. It was a lot about Tandy becoming... understanding herself and understanding who she wants to be and who she wants to become. I think that's what this season is about for her at this point, and I like that quite a bit.
The only way to understand yourself is to get inside someone else's tummy.
If you'd like to get inside of our tummies, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on down and we'll rub your tummies. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you can learn about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
You seem exhausted. Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And we'll see you in the dark.